All right, so before we start this week's show, we got to talk about our London party, the Dome Patrol party, Saturday night. We are, what now, 2 weeks away, pretty much?
Yep.
From Dome Patrol, New Orleans.football meetup at the Ninth Ward in London.
Yep.
How do people get in? Free? Just show up?
Yep. Show up, walk in the door, buy a beer, join the fun.
Who all is going to be there?
I will.
Yes.
Yep.
Present?
Yeah. I'm going to be there, yeah. Scott, no, oh, sorry.
Sorry, Scott.
Really don't like any of y'all.
I mean, look, the thing is, we do need somebody to stay behind and make sure the show gets recorded and edited and posted next week, because we're all going to be in.
I'm not doing it. I'm on strike.
Short straw. Right, that was James last year.
I'm on strike.
All right, well, and then we got Nick Underhill, and his entourage is going to be there as well from New Orleans.football.
Is he going to bring a harem?
He might. I don't know him that well to know whether he has a harem or not. We'll find out on Saturday, the night before the Saints-Viking game in London at the Ninth Ward. And then on Sunday, don't forget to join us at the Ultimate Tailgate Party. James, you want to give people the domain to go to and then how they can use their promo code to get £25 off?
So if you go to theultimatetailgateparty.net, select Tottenham Stadium, and then when you check out, to buy your ticket, if you use the code DOMEP25, you will receive a £25 discount on your ticket for the tailgate. Tailgate has free wine, beer, sodas, food. There's merch stalls. There is big screen TVs. There's a live DJ. It opens 4 hours before kickoff. So come along and get your money's worth.
And it's across James, the street from the stadium. So you get there, you party, and then you go whenever you're ready to go see the game.
What's wrong with your audio, Jeff?
Everything. He's in the car. But if I had to
choose, on my phone.
It sounds better than it did 5 minutes ago. Trust me.
Much better.
Is it really that
bad? Are you already in Europe and you're at Ben's house using his audio?
What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I am sounding a little different this week because I'm already in England. Yes, I'm doing the podcast from my phone. Everybody shut up. Just go along with it. So I've arrived early to come scope out the scene, checking out England, Scotland, Ireland, France, Belgium, and everything in between.
But you're coming back for the Saints game against the Bucks on Sunday.
Yeah. I'm getting, it's just a recon.
you must have that. You must have that LaToya flight budget.
That's right.
That's what it is.
I'm not returning the money either. So, all right. What are we doing? Well, on this episode, we're going to talk. We're going to have a little bit more of a game recap. We did the instant reaction, or y'all did the instant reaction Sunday after the game. We'll talk a little bit more if there's any more revelations that have come out for that. Got to take a look at next week's game with Tampa Bay. We got some pick'ems to do and maybe a couple of Saints headlines if they don't come out in any of the other segments beforehand. So let's go ahead and get the show started. Get your seatbelts on. Keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times and enjoy the show. With us today, we have a full dais. We have Jason, James, Scott, and Wesley. So plenty of opinions to be shared. Let's start with a game recap.
In the days since, it has been nice to see some of the videos come out of, to hear the cheers when Lutz's field goal went down and the subsequent Falcons fans' reactions of getting basically kicked in the balls once again. It's amazing that the Falcons continue to give that to their fans. I mean, that is just something else.
The thing that's been interesting is as we've looked back on all the games as a whole from the NFL, that and someone said this, and I think Nick Underhill brought it up on his podcast yesterday, that teams that are expected to be pretty successful and did not play a lot of players in the preseason have really struggled. And some of the teams, there's been a lot of upsets in week one, and it would make sense to say those teams that aren't expected to be good, they played all of their players all throughout the preseason. They got three actual games against competition, and they were more prepared. And it just looked like, looking back on it, Atlanta didn't start running some prevent defense in the fourth quarter. It was the same defense they ran the rest. We just attacked it differently. And it just looked like we hit a stride, and we had a lot of players, including our, you know, Jameis and Jarvis Landry and Taysom Hill and Michael Thomas, that did not play at all hardly in the preseason. So, I mean, there's reason to have hope that this wasn't us just having terrible execution, that maybe we just needed to get some time playing together. And we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, kind of too, that I think it was a combination of knocking off rust and also possibly changing, kind of like Wesley was saying, changing the attack, changing the game plan a little bit, making those in-game adjustments. Atlanta seemed to keep doing the same thing that they were doing all game because it was working, but we made adjustments and were able to overcome that and have a big, big fourth quarter.
Now, possible reality check, the two things that terrify me, 8 penalties for 99 yards. I don't like that at all. And then the other one, Alvin Kamara had 39 yards rushing. 32 yards were after contact. Our offensive line was not moving. Like, we can all sit there and say, like, oh, we weren't running the ball good. 7 yards before contact is terrible. And that's a reason to be concerned, because the Falcons don't have a dominant front four, and we're about to play a team that does. So the offensive line, the running game, is going to have to get better for that and let him actually cook.
Cesar Ruiz looked as bad as ever, and it was just – it's like, come on, man. Come on. The hope was Marone would have maybe fixed him, spending time with Jari, maybe would have fixed him a little bit. He looked just as lost. And it's just,
I mean, maybe it was rust. You know, I mean,
I don't think so.
We're claiming rust for everybody else the first three quarters, but we're not claiming it for the offensive line. Like,
he played a lot.
They played in
right,
the preseason.
Right. They actually played more than anybody else.
But I mean, I'm just saying.
It's looking more and more like he is just going to be a tremendous bust. And I don't want to see it because this is going to determine our season. And now that Penning injury really looms even bigger, we were kind of like, yeah, look, we've got Hurst and maybe we can make it work. But Hurst didn't play well either. So
the one thing we're hearing, and obviously I want to say that Cesar Ruiz did line up against Grady Jarrett a lot, who is a phenomenal talent. But the one thing that we're hearing is that the Saints game plan, we went in, we had a specific person that was the guy we were keeping an eye on and making all our calls over, because we thought he would be the blitzer, and he didn't blitz the entire game. I mean, Atlanta tricked us. And apparently somewhere along the line, we never made an adjustment. We kept, you know, calling off the same person, thinking that, okay, well, they're going to start the plan that we anticipated. So it sounded like we were calling out the wrong protections, and somebody there is going to look like they're doing the wrong job. And some of that's, you're being told to do an assignment. So, I mean, again, it also was Cesar Ruiz still looking like Cesar Ruiz.
Right. And I mean, they told Cesar, hey, just keep blocking air. You're doing good.
Yeah. Like me, it was rough. But again, let's hope that the communications get better. And just Tampa Bay's a lot more talented.
Let's hope Penning can come back.
Well, he's not going to be back this week.
No, he won't be back for a while. And on the defensive side, the defensive line didn't look great, but Atlanta's, again, one of those weird teams. The running quarterbacks really seem to frustrate us for whatever reason. And they can't, you know, I mean, that's the first time we've given up 100 yards in over 20 games. So
second time in 120.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, it was disconcerting, but maybe the plan of attack was just good, different than our normal plan of attack. So I'm hoping that gets better. I'm not panicking yet, but we'll kind of see what happens.
I think there was a bit of a freak out over the lack of pass rush and pressure on the quarterback this week, but there was no need for it because it wasn't the game plan.
We did not rush 5 people a single time in the game.
Yeah,
we rushed 4 on every, or 3 on every single play. Our job, our anticipation was not to try to get to the quarterback. Like, so let's chill for a second and see what we're doing.
Yeah, if we get no pressure on Brady this weekend, with their banged up offensive line and him being a statue, then there's a problem.
The problem.
Yeah. Right. Big and time. I think we had mentioned on the instant reaction show too, like if Fournette runs on us, then, you know, that's going to be a problem. Like, it,
but
you know,
Fournette was the NFL's leading rusher this weekend. And then the Saints.
I don't know how much y'all watched that game, but it was a pretty, it wasn't a great looking game for either team.
No.
And the Cowboys being the only team in the NFL that did not score a touchdown in week one, which just baffles me as a stat that there was one single team didn't score a touchdown.
They lost and back early.
They didn't lose them early. They have the Saints 2021 wide receiver room. I mean, they don't have any receivers.
Yeah. That game was pretty sloppy all the way around. Like it wasn't dominant by either team. It was pretty ugly. So we'll see what it looks like.
I didn't have my normal game watching experience, a little personal issue. So I was kind of watching in and out, but I also wasn't on Twitter during the game. And I'm glad because I'm sure Twitter for the first three quarters was a fucking shit show. And
it was a dumpster fire.
And I just don't have time for it because I'm sure everything that came out and look, the Saints were playing pretty poorly. Like it looked bad, but you know, everybody's, you know, it's like, oh, I want to get it out. I want to get it out. Games, you know, everybody wants to get their opinion out. Game's over, game's over. Look, I do that enough watching the TV at home because I do it a lot, whether it's the Saints or whether it's the Pelicans, I yell at my TV a lot. I don't need to read another 200 people doing that at once. Like I'm bad enough by myself. I don't need to let everybody else know that I'm yelling at the TV and this is bad and whatever. But you know, at the end of the game, we ended up winning, and yeah, it was a miracle win. But I'm just,
and then everybody who was talking,
well, of course,
shit,
well, that's
ended up singing praises and looks like an idiot because they overreacted way too early.
Yeah, I've got a group that I was talking to halfway through or near the end of the third quarter. I was texting them all. I was like, I'm keeping receipts of all this shit y'all are talking. Being all negative, talking about, I had a group of people that they were all talking about put Taysom in the game. I'm like, y'all are idiots.
Well, there was a lot of talk about putting Taysom and putting Dalton in. I'm like,
what are we talking about? Like,
right?
Insane. And those people got quiet real fast.
And but no, they're probably the loudest hooting and hollering. We're the best. We're the best.
I will say that I did not yell at my game or yell at my TV until the last like 3 minutes of the game. And then I yelled at my TV quite a few times.
Were you yelling at the refs?
I was happy with it. It was happy yelling.
My
9-year-old was scared.
Well, speaking of good things, I mean, I got to say Michael Thomas's post-game interview where he's, what was his quote? Like, I love this organization. I mean, he is completely a different attitude.
Since they've paid him for doing nothing for 2 years.
Yeah. And just all the stuff we're here, him and Jarvis and Jameis, all the talking the three of them are doing is just, those are leaders that people will follow into any kind of battle. And I really, it was pretty cool. Like they all coming out saying the same things. Apparently, Dennis Allen did a lot of stuff in the preseason and training camp to stress the players out and put them in just high anxiety situations that you can tell the way that they're talking about it is they were mad at him or mad at the coaching staff during training camp of why are we doing this? And then he comes back in the first game and is like, this is why we did that stuff. And they were like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. We get it. We're ready. Like it was. And you can tell they were all like mentioning it, like we were prepared for high stress situations and staying calm and just staying with the game plan. And it was so funny because even the reporter during the game was like, yeah, it's so weird that the Saints are losing so bad. But, you know, Atlanta is like freaking out and all hyped and just jumping around. And, you know, and New Orleans is like, yeah, we're fine. She's like, I don't get it. Like, I don't know if the Saints don't.
Well, they also know Atlanta blows. Right. So they're like,
she was basically the fourth quarter yet.
She was basically acting like, I don't know if the Saints have seen the scoreboard, but they really need to get some energy. And the Saints were just like super calm and just, it's kind of cool. That obviously Dennis Allen has had some plan for 4 months that he was, he told us this team is going to be a team that's resilient and tough and is not going to be out of games. So it's also one week. So who the hell knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Fun game.
Does anybody know what Jameis's quote unquote pain was? Lots of pain everywhere.
He was on the injury report for a back for back problems. He was limited participation for back, so I'm guessing it was his
It's
back.
Funny, the whole time, because I didn't really watch a lot of the game, I thought he was just talking about how bad we were the first three quarters.
Well, yeah, maybe he was.
He might have been. Like, you never know with Jameis. He might have been.
And he did say today.
And he had to take a shit in the medical tent.
He did have a great, a long press conference today where he talked for a while about all kinds of stuff. But one thing he just talked about is like, it's just normal. Like, this is part of playing in the NFL, is you hurt on Wednesday. Like, he's like, I'm just working through it. It's normal stuff. I'm fine. It's not going to affect me.
I mean, whatever they did in that tent, do it every week.
It was Mr. Miyagi. I'm telling you.
They gave him some of Cam's COVID. That's what they did.
That's what it was.
Oh, they that's the thing. When Cam's COVID was so good, they keep vials of it like the super soldier serum and just hand it out when they need to.
Well, they had a fresh sample from Tunny Badger, so they just injected him with it.
Allegedly, that's ignorant.
Speaking of, I mean, so his play, I mean, I felt like it could have been a little bit better. No, I mean, am I overreacting here that I'm expecting just, you know, five interceptions a game and no one to ever
you're overreacting.
Incredibly overreacting.
I think some of it too was not having a Debo either, and then having Roby to play out instead of having Roby play the inside and having guys shuffle around.
Yeah. Is that part of, like, was it game plan to leave kind of like those short to mid range passing lanes open for Atlanta? Because that seems like that's where Mariota completed most of his passes. I mean, there's guys but wide open by like 5, 6, 7 yards in these open spaces.
And the way our game plan was, you know, if we're only rushing three or four, he's going to have time to sit back there, and you can only cover for so long. Like, people are going to drift and get open. It's just the way it is. And especially if he starts scrambling, you know, people are just going to slide open.
And your coverage, if you're going to leave them the stuff underneath because you don't want to give up the big play, then you're just going to rely on good tackling.
Right.
And they have to go, like y'all, I think y'all said on the instant reaction about Gillikin's punting. I mean, you're putting Atlanta in, you know, 70, 80 yard drive situations every single time. You're giving your defenses a bend but don't break strategy. And they did that for the most part.
Also too, like, we did clearly played 8 in the box, and we did not play a game to stop the pass. We weren't really worried about it.
Let's just hope Adebo can come back this week. I know he
was on the DMP.
We'll talk about that in the game preview. Last chance to say anything about the game before we move on to the next segment.
It's kind of great that now Bromart did a keg, so now we have another scoreboard kind of like 28-3. We got 26-10 that now we can rub in their face. It's great. I mean, it's
biggest fourth quarter comeback in Saints history. Yeah, biggest fourth quarter comeback in Saints history.
Yeah,
reference the Washington game. It's only 2009.
See, you're right, because I thought it was, for some reason, I thought it was 16, because I remember having at least one 2-point conversion, so I just assumed it was 16.
It was only 15.
It was the 2017 game that they were talking about, Jeff.
Oh, that's one. Okay, never mind.
Are we doing a look at the tweets segment or no?
Kind of.
I don't have them pulled up. If someone
I've got them. Christian Mino had one, and it was a reference to the game. So I don't know if you wanted me to read it now or wait.
We have a host.
Yeah. Let's look at his tweet.
We have a host.
All right. Christian Mino tweeted, I love Lattimore, but this isn't the first time he's pulled that kind of penalty in moments that made it harder than it needed to be. I think it was selfish, but I don't want him to lose that attitude because I feel like it's his drive as a player. So
one thing that's kind of weird, I'm almost thinking, like, if that didn't happen and then they go for a Hail Mary, we somehow get like a pass interference penalty at the end and they can kick like a 30-yard field goal and win the game. So
it was better.
So as much as I hate it, I just feel like we would have gotten screwed some other way. So I'm kind of glad the game ended the way it did. But
I mean, with the refs, with the intentional grounding call and laughing at Jameis as he's saying it, and then this, I mean, a conspiracy theorist could say, here you go again. The refs are trying to find ways to make it hard for the Saints to win games.
So,
or is it just, no, the referees in the NFL suck, and this is just how life's going to be because every team is dealing with this.
Yeah. I think I was hoping once Peyton left, we'd get like it bounced back completely the other way and we get the benefit of all calls. Well, that's clearly not going to happen.
Nope.
But no. There's a lot of incompetence in officiating everywhere. Look, it's a hard job, but they also suck at it. So.
Yeah.
All right. Any more tweets, Scott?
That was the only one.
All right. So, yeah, next segment is headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
I got a couple of headlines I want to run by you all. First is the Saints are bringing back Latavius Murray.
Murray, present.
Anybody excited about this?
Yeah, I like it, and it looks like, Dwayne Washington's been hurt. He was inactive, and Mark Ingram did not practice there, or limited in practice today. Kamara, who they asked about the rib injury, did practice today, and I guess looked okay, but Latavius Murray is somebody that knows our system.
Well, that's kind of good, because the last day, probably over the radio, everybody was assuming, we signed Murray, so that means Kamara's out because he's a rib, and like Ingram, I thought, ran well. Obviously, he had the bad fumble, but he ran fairly well in the game, but I was more worried about Kamara being some kind of serious thing.
Retread. I think it's okay to say now, looking back, that we probably made a mistake choosing Tony Jones Jr. from his preseason success over a veteran like Latavius Murray, who actually had shown success during real games.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, a little bit. Tony Jones got that 2 years running.
Other headline is Sean Payton's appearance on Fox News, and he's kind of making the media circuit this week.
You mean Fox Sports?
Fox Sports on Fox NFL Sunday. How's that? Pre-game.
I was going to say, I don't think Sean Payton's going on Fox News.
Right. For those of you who saw him, Vilma's response was the best, where he basically said Sean Payton should drop the constipated look. And that's it, right? He first of all, I don't know who dressed the man, but he needs a new tailor and he needs to get rid of his white shoes. But I did like what he had to say on the show. I thought he did a good job, and then he's been on the circuit kind of telling all the stories about the Patrick Mahomes almost getting him. Of course, Saints fans all knew this already. We've been talking about it for years, but it's almost like the national world is just now finding this out. Why?
Because they don't care about New Orleans. Look, as far as the national media goes, based on the last 2 days, you wouldn't have even realized, A, we had a football game, and B, had one of the craziest comebacks of the entire weekend. It's almost like our game didn't even exist.
I mean, it really didn't. Crazy. It was to everybody else, it was the shitty game of the week, Jason.
Right.
Here we go.
I mean, it really was. I mean, both going into it and then afterwards, it's like,
despite being one of the biggest rivalries in the NFL, right, it the game got completely ignored for the greatness that it was. And it's like, I'm not angry. I'm used to the national media ignoring us, but It's just wild.
Well, let's win this week and see if they ignore us. Let's see if they ignore us.
They'll find a way.
I rather have the disrespect, because that puts the chip on the shoulders.
Oh yeah, sure. Like I said, I'm not mad at it. It's just kind of wild to me. Like, a team was down 16 points in the fourth quarter, came back to win. You know,
but the Pittsburgh Cincinnati game gets game of the week,
right? Because they had like 8 missed field goals.
Right.
Come on.
You know, and I almost don't mind just kind of flying under the radar a little bit right now. You know what I mean? And if we do win this week, the story will be, well, Tom Brady's fallen off. It won't be the Saints are good. You know,
it'll be another week under the radar.
Yeah.
We're going to be flying under the radar until we fly right under the radar, right under the London radar in the UK right there.
My two Peyton thoughts is, one, when he quit, he said that he was going to use this time to get back in shape and start working out again. He has not. Nope. He's as big as he has ever been. He looks like he is the next coming of Bill Parcells. I think he's hitting that age where he's just going to be that guy. And I'm also going to continuously every week kind of update the Sean Payton sweepstakes. Right now, the Chargers do not look like they are in the market for a new coach. But damn it, the Denver Broncos do, and Russ Wilson wanted to play with Sean Payton. He's listed the Saints and Sean Payton as a potential pairing with him before. I'm putting the Denver Broncos in the Sean Payton sweepstakes right now, because their coach.
Do the Saints have to agree?
The coach is kind of agreed that he probably needs to be replaced.
After watching that game, I mean, they look completely poorly coached. The only thing with Denver is they gave away a lot of their first round picks to get Russell. So,
right. So,
we're not getting a first round pick next year. So, I'm like, we don't have to do shit. What about Cincinnati? They just gave him an extension, though, right?
Yeah, they just gave him an extension after reaching the Super Bowl. But I think that if it came down to him actually failing and looking like he did, if they find a way to blame it on him instead of Joe Burrow, that's
what if Cincinnati goes 7-10 this year?
Yeah, I don't know if he lives through that. I really do think that he's going to be completely unsatisfied with not being in control of multiple people and bossing people around. Like, I think I love that he's taking this job because I think this job is going to make him want to coach more than just even more sitting would. I mean, and again, we've heard people say that they don't think he's going to sit out multiple years. I think this is going to annoy the crap out of him that he can't yell at people for being stupid. I think he's
going to. He may try to yell at Terry Bradshaw, but like, he's definitely, you know, everybody's like, oh, Dallas. Why would you? I don't see him working for Jerry Jones. I just, because Jerry Jones can't be like, here, Sean, you do it all. Like, Jerry Jones is just not that guy. So to me, Dallas is, it seems like the obvious choice. To me, it's not the choice. It just isn't. I mean, that's my
thought. Definitely going to be coaching somewhere next year.
Sure.
Toss it into Saints preview. I'm going to hang up and rejoin. I'm about 5 minutes from home, and then we'll do pick'ems. Y'all do Saints preview without me.
Despite the fact that he's going to the game.
So I think what is going to be interesting is obviously whether they introduce the offense or the defense, whatever they're going to do. Obviously, Tyrann Mathieu, Jarvis Landry coming back to the Dome. I think the Dome's going to get pretty hyped when those two are called onto the field. And what I think, you know, it's going to do is the atmosphere in the Dome hasn't seemed that great for the past couple of years. I mean, obviously, I know COVID was one, but last year the atmosphere just didn't seem. I think you're going to get an atmosphere on Sunday which is more like peak Peyton Breeze era Dome, and I think it's really, really important that we get the home field advantage back because we've not been good at home for the past 2 years.
I wonder if they're going to let them do the Who Dat chant.
It'd be great if they let them do it in tandem. Yeah,
I mean, that would be pretty smart to do. The game itself, I really think it's going to come down to our defense. Defensively, we've played well against Tampa, and I just want to see that continue. I think that we didn't have any turnovers this past game. We didn't get any turnovers. We did.
We got two.
I'm sorry.
What game did you watch?
Should have had three.
Three.
Sorry.
May should have ended on one.
I think we need to get more turnovers is what I guess what I'm going to say.
Because we had the fumble that we didn't get.
I think defensively we need to obviously get pressure on Brady. He doesn't like pressure up the middle in his face, and we need to get some picks. We've done a good job. Dennis Allen's done a good job in disguising things and kind of confusing him over the past few years. I don't know if it's eventually going to catch up to us to where maybe he'll catch on to something. I don't know. Maybe Allen comes up with a new game plan every time we play him, but I'd like to see that trend continue.
They're missing three starters on the offensive line this week, right?
That always helps.
And it's been told that Godwin's going to be out too. We talked about the Saints game and not knowing like if it's the first game of the season and who played and what they need to improve on, but just reading off of what the Buccaneers and Cowboys did against each other. The Buccaneers were 5 for 14 on third down. The Cowboys did get 4 sacks for 25 yards. If we get 4 sacks against Brady, that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
Also, we're looking at Tampa Bay only got 195 yards passing. It was not a great game for Brady. I mean, he was 18 of 27. He missed some deep balls. I believe that the big part of his stats was he hit Julio Jones on a 48-yard pass, which is a huge portion of what he did. But this is a game, I mean, again, it comes down to Marshawn Lattimore shuts down Mike Evans like he always does. Tampa Bay is going to have a tough time. If Adebo can come back and play and shut down either, you know, Jones or Russell Gage, whoever you have over there, Tampa Bay becomes pretty one-dimensional trying to see if Leonard Fournette can run the ball.
I mean, the good news is, Scott, you're looking for your turnovers. Julio Jones has more fumbles than touchdowns against the Saints and however long, so hopefully that's where we get the turnovers. But yes,
got more tackles Adebo, against the Saints than touchdowns too.
Adebo playing is going to be huge. But also, I mean, look, you look at Tampa last week. I mean, Fournette rushed for over 100 yards. I mean, that's obviously going to be the key. Stop Fournette, and then we should be fine. I know Brady likes to get the ball out quick, but you know, Cam Jordan seems to rise to the occasion in these games. You know, not having CeeDee, I know he was great against Brady the last few years, but really having Adebo back there to play with Julio, I think, would be the difference maker. And then they could really focus on stopping Fournette and really getting it done. And, you know, yes, the defense is important, but you know what? We actually have an offense that could score if, this is a big if, Cesar Ruiz doesn't look like a fucking asshole. I mean, we could score with this team. So we have the weapons to really put it on them. We don't have to win. We're not going to win 9-0. Okay. We have the weapons to really play well. And if our defense does what they've done the last several games, there's no reason this can't be another one of those blowouts that we've had in the past.
Our defense is set up perfectly to defend Tom Brady, though. That's the reason why we've had so much success against him in the past 2 years in the regular season.
Yeah. He's no Marcus Mariota.
He is not.
No. Now that we've got that game plan, we need to get the pressure. We need to get the sacks. I mean, I watched a little bit of the Dallas game. He goes back. I mean, obviously he doesn't want to get hit. He's getting it out as quick as possible. So that's where, if Adebo can play, having the secondary to be able to cover, to watch those quick outs. I mean, if he doesn't have that quick release and then he's stuck going to go to second and third reads, that's when we attack. That's when we can really make a difference in the game.
I know it's a cliche, but you've got this week, more than anything, we've got to win the line of scrimmage. The defensive line has really got to put their offensive line under pressure, and our offensive line has really got to step up its game, because I think you said, Wesley, their front seven is pretty good.
Yeah, and hopefully Devin White doesn't injure anybody in this game. Fucking asshole.
Come down to it. I mean, this is Dennis Allen's specialty. So far, is what it looks like is game planning to beat Tampa Bay and to beat Tom Brady. It should be par for the course. I mean, if anything, they've lost a lot since the last time we played them, and we've gained a lot of talent since the last time we played them. It should be, I mean, a game that's set up for us to build some momentum and be 2-0.
And I would hope too, you know, getting that the first game under belt, because you saw it, you know, it took us a while to get going. Now that we've got this game time under our belt, you had all the momentum in the fourth quarter, let that carry over. Let's hope the game plan comes out. Let's get hot early. Don't start out with a 3-and-out. Don't get behind. I mean, I really want to see and keep the crowd in it. Like, I think because it's the first game, definitely, thank God. Like, if we'd have lost last week, obviously it'd have been a little different this week, but getting that win, you know, the crowd's going to be excited. First home game as a fan sitting up there in 648, I want to go nuts all game. Like, I want to be excited.
Man. Got to get that home field advantage back.
Have to. We can't just rely on Tottenham Stadium to be our home field advantage this year.
Although winning there would be nice.
So yeah, play good special teams. You know, when you have to punt, use Gillikin to flip the field. Have Lutz as your weapon.
No turnovers by our offense. And I mean, with what we're doing on special teams, like you're just mentioning, this lines up to be a victory. We build over the fourth quarter that we just had. We had an amazing fourth quarter. We have a first quarter like that. We put pressure on them. That's been the problem with Tampa Bay, is we get ahead of them. We make them one-dimensional. They try to pass the ball. Brady doesn't do well. Then they can't even run the ball. We get up early on them, and they got to abandon the run early. They really struggle with us about that. So let's get on them.
Yeah, even with Jeff in the stands, we'll find a way to get it done this week.
Well, if he makes it up there.
Well, I'm back from London. I've made it back, as you can tell from my audio. Let's get into our final segment. So for those of you who play Pick'ems, let's keep going. Pick'ems.
It's all about the game, you fall like the rest. Your failure is my success. It's all about control. Will you make it? I will deliver the pain, you can't take it.
You have the records in front of you for everybody?
Yeah. So I post. I'm going
to
try to
talk about
them.
The records.
I'm going to try to post the records.
Oh, really? Why not? I'm 4-1, and you don't want to talk about the records?
Come on. Nah, I don't want to talk about the records.
That's because Scott's 1-4 with Ben at the bottom of not just the Dome Patrol League, but the entire league of everyone playing. You are the worst.
They're the bottom bitches.
Yeah, I'm sucking y'all in so I can show out later.
That's what Nayla said for 10 years.
Right. All right. So on the top of the league is Jason, Ali Gibbs, and drummer Paul Perrette, Trevor Bruno, all 4-1, followed by James, Christian Mino, the Mailman, Jambalaya Brothers, Mark Brennan, new players, and Sans Hobbs, all 3-2. Me, Wesley, Big Easy Guy, John Farmer, J.A. Orella, another first-time player, Mr. Coach Klein, Neil, PX, Saber, Tom Ensign, and Wayno, all 2-3. And then finally, Scott and Ben at the bottom, where they always are.
Ali Gibbs, our defending undisputed champion. Yes. Who's now tied with Jason for first
place.
But alphabetically, Ali is actually...
That's what I'm saying. He's Jason. Undisputed. Undisputed champion.
Ali Gibbs. Wow. So, man. All right. So, well, let's go. Week 2. What's our games, Jason?
Right. Arguably the 3 best games we can't pick for Pick'em. So this week's slate is pretty shitty. So
we've got 5 shitty games of the week.
Pretty much. Pretty much. So our first game, the Washington Commanders coming off a win at home against Jacksonville. Carson Wentz threw 2 picks, but also threw 4 touchdowns. Josh Doctson, the receiver they took in the draft pick that we traded to them, scored a couple of touchdowns. They traveled to Detroit to play a Lions team that is coming off a loss last week to Philly, although it was close, 38-35. So this is an interesting matchup. It's in Detroit. But the Lions are only favored by 1.5. But this is the first time the Lions have been favored in a game for like.
I think that's a mistake. I'm taking Washington.
I'll take Detroit.
In Detroit, yeah.
In Detroit.
Yeah, I'm taking Detroit too.
I am going to take Detroit as well.
Detroit.
Wow. Everybody's on Detroit. I'm sorry. Carson Wentz is legit.
All right. Our next game is probably the best game of the bunch that we were able to select. The Miami Dolphins coming off a home win last week against New England. They travel to Baltimore, play a Ravens team coming off a win last week. A lot of people expect both these teams to make the playoffs or even compete. This game is in Baltimore. Ravens are favored by 3.5. So do you believe in Tua on the road?
No, but I'm going to take the points.
I am going to take the Ravens.
I am also going to take the Ravens.
I'm taking Miami and the points. Do the waddle, baby.
Ready to walk through a fountain?
You know it.
I'm going to take the Ravens.
I hope I don't have all the same picks as Scott this week. I'll feel really bad about my picks.
You do so far.
I know so far. So far. All right, our next game. The Arizona Cardinals coming off a shellacking against Kansas City, still without DeAndre Hopkins. They traveled to Las Vegas to play a Raiders team that lost to the Chargers last week. They played okay. Davante Adams looked good, but the Raiders had, I believe, 3 turnovers. So this game is in Vegas. The Raiders are favored by 4.5.
I'll take the Raiders.
Give me the Vegas Raiders.
All right, I'll take the Raiders then. I'll take the gamble.
I'll take the Raiders.
All right. Give me Arizona. Raiders tend to do dumb shit. Our next game, a battle of, well, over the last 20 years, playoff stalwarts. But now, you know, while one team looks like it's going to have a rough season, another team won last week but lost their star defensive player, not for the season, but for 6 weeks. This is the Patriots at the Steelers, one of the marquee franchise matchups. Mac Jones hurt his back last week, but I think he's going to play. But, I mean, I don't know. New England just doesn't look good at all. Could this be the beginning of the end for Belichick? Pittsburgh came off a crazy win against Cincinnati. They lose T.J. Watt, partially torn pec. He got a second and a third opinion to be like, yeah, I don't want to have surgery. So he's only going to miss 6 weeks, but he is out this week. This game is in Pittsburgh, and New England is favored by 2.5.
I'm going to take the Steelers.
Because yep. T.J. Watt is out?
Yep. Give me the Steelers. That is an unreal line.
Yeah, I'm taking Steelers. The Steelers as well.
Steelers.
So everybody's taking the Steelers? I'm taking New England because I'm sticking with Bill Belichick that he doesn't lose 2 games in a row.
Well, get ready. He may lose more than 2.
Yeah, I'm going to regret this. But
yes, you are. That's okay. All right. And now I
want to be on the wrong side of it if they do win.
And now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. Of shit card. I got a piece of shit card. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car's a
the New York Jets. Very shitty team. They had to start Joe Flacco last week. They traveled to Cleveland to play a Browns team that came from behind to beat Carolina last week off a 58-yarder from Cade York.
Go Tigers.
This game is at Cleveland. Cleveland is favored by 5.5.
I'm taking the Browns.
I am also taking the Browns.
I'll take the Browns just because I think like Nick Chubb's the best player on the field of either one of these teams, and he'll maybe run for 250 yards.
I'm also taking the Browns.
Yeah. I want to take the Jets, but I can't. I'm taking the Browns. Right. So that's it for Pick'ems.
Cleveland five-way.
Super steamer. So our games this week, you know, we got kind of screwed with the Monday night and Thursday night games, but Washington at Detroit. Detroit favored by 1.5. Miami at Baltimore in our game of the week. The Ravens are favored by 3.5. Arizona at Las Vegas. The Raiders are favored by 4.5. New England at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is catching 2.5 at home. Crazy, the home dog. And then finally, our shitty game of the week, the Jets at the Browns. Browns are favored by 5.5.
All right, there's your pick'ems. Don't forget, everybody, get your tweets in. Tweet us at Dome Patrol PCast. Use hashtag pick'ems. Just send us your five picks, and we'll track them. When I've tracked them, I've liked them. And
Jeff, please remember to track Sans Hobbs picks because you missed them last week.
I missed a few of them because, yeah, that's the first week back. I'm like the Saints. The first three quarters, I went there, but I knocked the rust off, and I'm back. Right, baby, all right. Let's move on to our final thoughts. Does anybody want to start with final thoughts?
We got to do score predictions. Score predictions.
Oh, yes. We forgot that in the Saints preview
set. We did.
So I kept track of the score predictions last week.
I'm still rusty.
At least we all won.
So we did all win. You know, the final score was 27-26. Jeff.
I had 28-3.
Had 28-3. He originally said that it was going to be a shutout, but he did take 28-3. We, I think, overestimated our offense and underestimated their offense. Now, I'm going to kind of pick a winner each week of this, and I have to give the win to Jeff because 26-10 is a new 28-3. So
I don't think any of us deserve to win.
I'm just going to say,
I'm honest with you. I mean, it makes sense.
I'm just going to say, I was going to cut this whole thing in the editing room.
Thank you.
I think I'm going to leave it in now.
Ah, there you go.
Score predictions this week.
I'll go 27-14.
28-19 Saints. Tampa Bay is favored by 2.5, by the way.
I'm going to go 27-10 Saints.
24-17 Saints.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I think we get a couple of pick sixes this game. I'm going 32.
I would love it. You know how crazy that dome is going to be? Jessica's going to be running up and down the stairs.
I'm going to go 31 to 12.
I'm hurting already.
Yeah. 31 to 12.
Boy, that'd be nice to break in the 30s for this one. All right. There's your score predictions. Now, final thoughts. Who has any final thoughts worth sharing? Worth sharing is the key.
I've had a message from one of our listeners directly to me. Neil got in touch with me on Tuesday morning and asked, it's got a very specific request. He said, if you could find your way to mention on the next podcast that my rookie debut in my first ever fantasy team, this is his first ever fantasy team, murdered Ben Wright's team, he would be ever so grateful. So Neil, there you go.
I do want to thank Jeff for his editing job last week of editing my drunk asshole, because luckily it only happens once or twice a year instead of multiple nights like we used to do way back in the day. So, because even I was getting annoyed with myself, and so I'm sure the listeners enjoyed not hearing my voice for the instant reaction to kind of take a break because they were getting tired of me.
We'll say that what I liked about what we did was releasing it as multi-part episodes rather than
long
episodes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that Wesley, we're able to, and James got to talk to Nick Underhill on the middle episode there. So I think that added. Yeah. So that way we kind of progressed into, or regressed as.
Yes, we definitely
regressed. Definitely into the third progression.
Yeah.
And then, I'm excited to be back in the dome this weekend. Very excited.
This isn't Saints related, but it was really cool last weekend to see the city of Baton Rouge come together for the Southern LSU game, to see both teams perform at halftime on the field and do like the Cupid Shuffle together. And even after the game, when all the fans were gone, the bands were still playing, battling each other. It was just really cool.
But didn't they stick around for like 20, 30 minutes?
Yeah, it was like 20, 30 minutes after the game, which is really just really neat. And so LSU got the win. They play Mississippi State this weekend. Mississippi State's actually favored in this game. So we'll see how it goes.
That makes sense.
Why wouldn't they be?
I don't think they're as good as talented team as LSU is, to be honest. Well,
you know, we'll find out on Saturday.
We will.
All right, and then a quick final thought also on not Saints related. I've been doing the rewatch Game of Thrones. I've told you guys this. I'll tell the fans this. I think everybody gave at least season 7 a raw deal. Season 7 was very enjoyable.
I enjoyed season 7. It was just season 8.
Was good.
Eight, so I'm 2 episodes into season 8, and I am loving it as well. You're getting a lot of payoffs, a lot of the kind of big meetups that have been building up since the beginning, and these people kind of reacting. You're seeing people in positions of power that you've been waiting for them to have. I mean, honestly, I really think it goes back. It's just like with every fandom, you're overly critical the first time you see something, just like people were with the Saints. So this is Saints related. People were with the Saints Sunday for the first three quarters, and then in the finale, they go ahead and they win the game, and now everybody's back on the bandwagon.
And look, once you get to the House of Dragon shows, it has been excellent thus far. Like, the guy who plays Damon is amazing, and the Damon's girl who plays it? And the girl who plays the princess are just really, they're making the show. It's really good. It's really good.
I'm not watching until we finish Game of
Thrones. You'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it.
All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK. Follow us on Facebook, searching for Dome Patrol Podcast. If you want to participate in game day chat, you can DM us on Twitter to get an invitation to the Dome Patrol Discord server. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, you can go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dacom.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Falcons Hope donkeys.
Good night, Houdat Nation.